Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Creative Rituals podcast. I'm so happy to be back. Hopefully you haven't even noticed that I was on a bit of a break, but I feel spiritually, creatively, podcasting-wise, really replenished and so joyous to be talking to you again. I want to send your way today an episode on inhabiting a creative home, and that is the beginning of a little series that I'm planning on getting winter ready and planning for seasonal rituals that has been requested, and I'm always like really grateful when people reach out and tell me what they would love to hear more about. There'll also be an episode about grief in winter, about being with a colder landscape, about how I celebrate the holidays in my home. And maybe we'll have some guests as well. Let's see. A few updates before I begin. So yeah, like I mentioned, I've been on a break. That felt really good. As you know, I'm podcasting a lot. I have another podcast called Embodied Business that I have been working on the past few months. So there's new episodes there as well, if you're curious. And I've moved to Substack with my newsletter, and I'm really glad I did. I had a lot of reservations for the last few years, and I still actually have them in some ways. But for me, I felt like the benefits are really outweighing the cons of being on that platform. And that is mainly because I feel it makes my writing and or my sharing and my episodes a lot more accessible and interactive. So for example, you can now comment on my newsletters, and just sending the last one out last month was so cool because I got to talk to people that I haven't really spoken to in a long time since I left Instagram. And I really miss that kind of interactive part of sharing work, and especially longer form content, where you can continue to have conversations and make requests and wishes. And I also had two polls in that first email, and I asked people what they wanted to hear more about. And amongst that, what came through was that people really want to hear about how I do winter and ritual. And yeah, I felt so happy to hear that. You can also reshare a post, and what else can you do? Oh yeah, I'm reading my newsletters out at the top of them, and I think that's really cool for people who just don't like to read, especially longer newsletters. So yeah, you can hear me read them out. And then the biggest news around that is that I'm offering Spark sessions again. Well, they're called Spark sessions now, and they used to be maybe slightly different, but every first Sunday of the month from hour, I'm offering a space to just be together. And I'm creating a workbook that people can be with in that time. And the idea is that we're kind of, hanging out in Zoom, we're setting an intention for that time together. And then because it's the first Sunday of the month, we'll really map out the month and what is important in our work, in our creative practice, in our everything in life, basically. And the workbook is going to give you lots of different options to do that. So in my intention setting sessions that I've been offering the last 2 years, I offered a series of journaling prompts, and they will still be there, but I also want to offer some other things for maybe people who want to do this differently, maybe visually or, yeah, I don't know, in some other way. And I'm really excited to share that. So yeah, join the Substack. You will receive the Zoom link. You can register there. I would love to see you if that sounds like your jam. And then after quite a long break, maybe almost half a year from teaching, I will be offering a winter group program starting in January called The Well, which is a program for people with limited time and energy who want to kind of lean into their writing and ritual practice, but maybe also map out the work that they're doing in the world. I know many of you also have small businesses and like a gentle space to kind of orient to what is important and make good decisions and be with others in a similar place. So that is almost ready for enrollment, and I'll announce that in a few days on the Substack, and then you can join if you wish. Okay, this is all my updates for now. Now I would love to talk about inhabiting a creative home. And I know that can mean a lot of different things. So again, whatever I share, as always, take it with a salt of a grain of salt. or leave it, you know, leave what doesn't work for you. But here is what I found. For me, a really important first step was to clear space for my creativity in my home. I've been moving around so much up until about 4 years ago when I moved to Scotland for all kinds of reasons, some of which were outside of my control. But it really astonished me that I managed in all this moving to accumulate so much stuff that I didn't have a meaningful relationship to. And I will admit, I am definitely one of those annoying Marie Kondo people. I think the first round I did about 6 years ago, and it really was life-changing. I know it's called the life-changing magic of tidying up, and I know it's a bit of a cliche, and anyway, but for me, it was a really important process to pull everything out and to really touch everything and to look at everything I had and really kind of review with that the choices I've made around spending and materiality and the kinds of things that I surround myself with. And I've let a lot go. I donated, recycled, gave away, sold stuff. I think the part I found the easiest is probably my wardrobe. Like, simplifying that has been really, really joyous. I find getting dressed in the morning so much less distracting and overwhelming now. I feel much clearer about how I express myself. And I also, you know, I keep it very simple, but I also like having fun. And so, yeah, that's been a really good process. But speaking more broadly about a creative home, for me, that was really important. And I would recommend to anyone really to think about first how you create space, because when we want to set ourselves up, in this case, maybe for winter, maybe for some other season, but maybe there's the intention of kind of being more creative, the impulse can so easily be to buy more stuff. But actually, so often we need to review what we already have and then really think about what we want to bring in. I think for me, there's also questions around good enoughness. So for example, when I'm looking at Pinterest and I'm inspired by different artists and I feel like, oh gosh, like, I could never make that, you know, that looks so great. One of the stories I like to tell myself is that I just don't have enough space or good enough resources to make something like that. And yeah, I think it feels really important to be like, you know, I can make beautiful things with exactly where I'm at and with exactly what I have. And what's going to make it beautiful is my intention, the story behind it, the love that I pour into the practice of making it. So yeah, I think each in our own way, we have to unpack where we picked up this idea of consumerism and more always being better, and not enoughness in ourselves and our creative practices. So whatever that means to you, that would be my invitation to do next. I think also a lot about the idea of really radical simplification. And that feels true for me in the visual language I like to see and engage with, but also in kind of the complexity of thought. You know, like sometimes when we have something important to express in a creative way, it can feel so, so tempting to feel like I want to look smart. You know, I want to communicate this in a way that's very sophisticated and maybe a little bit mysterious, because that's what being an artist is about. I hear that so often from people who write their first books and then, you know, later maybe write more or write zines or whatever, you know, write something and say, gosh, in the beginning of my writing practice that I started to begin to share publicly, I really felt this pressure of sounding smart, and that really inhibited my actual funny, joyous, you know, creative, playful voice. I definitely feel that is true for me. I'm currently rewriting or editing my rituals book, which I wrote in 2020. And in that process, I'm really sensing so much that the parts of it that feel cringy to me, where I'm like, oh, like that sounds weird, and were really the parts where I was trying so hard. I was just not having any chill. I just wanted to look cool. And that came out weird, you know? And yeah, I feel a bit more gentle about that now and really excited to rewrite it. So that is what I'm doing. So yeah, my next invitation is to think about what radical simplification looks like to you and where you might feel like, oh, you know, this has to be a certain way for me to look good, basically. The next step in inhabiting a creative home is drawing in inspiration. I really like to think about color, shape, texture, smell, really how these different things feed me. And I don't think that you need to be an interior designer to do that, but you have to look at your surroundings in a really kind of, in a way that's open to beauty. I think that is the best way to express it, right? I think we all have an inherent intuition around things like form and shape and texture and what feels pleasing to us. And that doesn't have to look good on Pinterest, but maybe Pinterest is a source of inspiration for you. Maybe it's a place where you gather ideas and have a look at what other people are doing. But I hope it's never a place of judgment as to what your home is like. I do have a big inspiration board on Pinterest and I find it helpful to use. But I just also remind myself, you know, I live in a real lived-in house and there's no staging. You know, it's messy sometimes. I need certain things from that and that's okay. But there are so many cool ideas out there and so many, you know, cool guides on what how to DIY stuff that I think are really, really cool. So yeah, after clearing some stuff away, after radically simplifying, I like to think about inspiration and really what I want to surround myself with. And then the biggest part for me, and that's been like, you know, yeah, so it's probably the area where I changed the most, is really accessibility, because I know that especially in periods of limited time and energy, I want to have everything I could possibly want to be creative with in very, very easy reach. So for me, for example, I have a big like a chest of drawers in my hallway. And so I'm passing that multiple times, many times a day, on the way to the bathroom, on the way to the kitchen, just, you know, all day long I'm passing it. And that is the one space where I keep all my craft supplies. It has my printmaking inks, my carving tools, my embroidery threads. It has some of my fabrics, although I also have a trunk in my bedroom where I have a lot of like cutoffs and old bits of fabric that I want to reuse in some way. And so everything is very easily accessible in one place. I'm being reminded of the presence of these things all the time. They're not just in some like attic somewhere or in, you know, I don't know, under my bed or something. And they're all ready to use all the time. And then I'm also thinking a lot about kind of the multiple uses different spaces in my home have, because my home is not huge, it's very, very comfy and like loving and it's filled with light and beautiful things, but it's not huge. And so I have this little dinner table, for example, that folds out. It was secondhand, it was such a steal. It's like a beautiful old mahogany set with like four chairs that are covered in pink velvet. It was just mind-blowing that I found it. It was made me so happy. But anyway, so it usually sits four people, but then when you fold out, it fits six. So you can really spread yourself out. And I have this nice tablecloth that can get really dirty. And so when I want to do printmaking, for example, I can fold it all the way out and really have like my inks on there, my carving tools, and then the little press that I have. And when I sew, the sewing machine is often out and I can also spread like fabric scraps across the table. There's good light, it's near the window, and yeah, everything is really within easy reach. I also have a little embroidery hoop that is in a frame. It's a bit funny to describe, but I'm going to try. So basically, it has a stand and you slip that stand under your thigh. So when you're sitting in bed or on a chair, you hold the frame firm with your thigh and then you have your hands free to just embroider because the hoop is already being held. And that was a bit of an investment. I think it was 50 quid, but it really allows me to embroider even when I'm in so much pain that I'm just in bed or sitting in a beanbag or something. And I really enjoy these like very simple, very low energy winter days where my main intention is just to stay hydrated, to get some daylight by sitting near the window, and then to maybe do a small creative thing such as a little bit of stitching while listening to an audiobook. And I think there's something around acceptance around that, because I think Without these things and without that intention in place, those days where there's not much else I can do feel more sad and kind of more like a loss. You know, they feel more like, oh my gosh, I've lost this ability, and now I'm having maybe a not so great mental health day, and I'm not participating in life the way that I maybe would like. Maybe I needed to cancel something social that I was looking forward to, and you know, that can feel sad. But I really feel like the way I embody my home now, I know that those days, there's always still some sweetness for me. You know, there's always still something in place that I can do and that can meet my body's need for rest. And that's beautiful. So yeah, thinking about your own accessibility needs and how you engage with your creative materials, that could be really interesting. You know, is it really easily accessible to you? Do you have a plan in place for days that are really hard? Are there maybe little tools you could get to make that easier for you? Yeah. I've also been thinking about where investment matters. Like I said, I like to keep things really simple, and I'm really noticing that once I decluttered fully and I understood what I already had, I really started to spend much less on things that I don't really need, because I know, you know, what fabric scissors I have, and I know exactly where they are, and I know what color fabric or thread I already have, so that I don't impulse buy something that would then be a duplicate, basically. And I feel like, especially with small things like thread, it really requires a little bit of tending to kind of keep a mental record of what's already there. But I really love that as part of my practice, like that is a part of my life, you know, to really tend to the goodness and the beauty that I already have, and to make sure that I'm not over consuming things that I don't really actually need. The next part for me is celebrating small achievements. So I hang up my own art, which I initially found incredibly cringy, but I'm just looking over to the wall now and I'm seeing some prints that I made in 2020 and 2021, I think, and I still enjoy looking at them. They were my very first prints, and that means something to me, you know, and they hang on a wall together with art from like real artists in air quotes, and I find that they belong, and that was a process that was important to me. But I also really celebrate other people's art, and I really enjoy surrounding myself with things that I identify with, where I know the story. Maybe I've traded with that person, or I've followed their work for a while, and that feels really beautiful and meaningful for me as well. I also really like to bring the landscape in. So whenever I can, I go to my local river, for example. You've heard me record a few river episodes this year, and there's a lot of fern, there are fallen leaves, there are all kinds of stones. And I think part of my creative practice and, you know, living in a creative home feels bringing that in and making space for that, but also offering something in return, such as litter picking or feeding the birds in my garden, or planting wildflowers for the bees, that kind of stuff. I think working seasonally within my home also feels really nice. I rotate a few things between summer and winter. So I have an electric blanket, for example, that really helps my chronic pain. I have a sad lamp that's great when things get very dark in the winter in Scotland. And in the summer, I just bring out these lighter things and I put other stuff away. I like to clean my windows to make sure all the light that's there also really does come in. And I really love to light candles in winter. That's a big priority for me. I sometimes make my own candles, but not all of them. I also buy some. And yeah, I love that so much. I think that's a beautiful way to celebrate the end of a work day, especially when you're working from home and you want to differentiate between, you know, your work time and then your creative time. Obviously, sometimes there just isn't that clear distinction. That's okay too. But for me, I think I light a candle and I have dinner when I'm kind of done for the day with my client responsibilities, and I practice just kind of for myself and in my own time. And yeah, I think the lighting of candles has become like a really important ritual for me to to mark that transition from like, I am available, I check my emails, I do things for other people, to I just do things for myself now, and I'll see what that feels like and what I want to do. I also like to keep a calendar visible to me at all times, so that I know kind of where the moon is at, where the season is at. And there's something really beautiful, I think, for me in my bedroom, for example. I don't have a clock on the wall, but I only have a moon clock, and so it shows me kind of, yeah, where the moon is at right now. And then finally, one thing that has really helped me was to let go of the idea that boredom is a bad thing. Because I think for me, for my creativity to come forward, I sometimes need a lot of unstructured time. So I need some weekends where really almost nothing is planned, where maybe I have a few phone calls and I know I want to go on a walk, or I want to deep clean something in a way that really pleases me, but otherwise I don't have social plans. And in those weekends, often I find that I maybe organize materials in a new way. Maybe I start a new project. Maybe I complete something I've been working on in little bits for a while, and it feels so great to come to that sense of completion. But I need to not fill my days with stuff to drop into that space. And I think that's true for my home as well. You know, just being home to me is such a treat in itself. And I really, even after years of pandemic and having like a real abundance of alone time at home, I still treasure that a lot. And I really want to, yeah, celebrate the goodness of that while also being real about how hard that sometimes can be too. I really like to think that this podcast is something that maybe people listen to when they're home alone and they want to be more creative, and that gives me a lot of joy. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your patience while I was coming back here. Please consider joining my Substack. You don't need the app. It can just be a newsletter if that's what you want, but you're really welcome to join the Spark sessions that are happening once a month. And yeah, if you like, listen, maybe share it with a friend. I would so appreciate that. And again, thank you so much. Bye.